Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
This morning I'm basing my sermon on Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Now, it is a part of this study that we're doing this summer called A Life Worth Living. This is one of the supplemental studies from the Alpha program. Those of you who took the first and the premier Alpha program earlier this spring, this is a supplemental program. We're doing it throughout the church this summer. David and I are both preaching on particular aspects of this study throughout June and July. It's based on Paul's letter to the Philippians, this church in ancient Macedonia. Paul finds himself in prison, probably in Ephesus, across the Aegean Sea. He is very happy about these people called the Philippians, this church in ancient Philippi, because they have just sent him a care package, a gift of probably some food, perhaps, and some money and provisions. Because in those days, if you found yourself in prison, there was no one going to take care of you. The prison keepers had no concern of taking care of you. And so if you were going to survive at all, you were at the mercy of friends and family. And so Paul is very grateful for this church in Philippi who has sent him this care package of provisions and money to take care of him in his imprisonment. So in this particular passage, we discover what we're calling a new attitude, an attitude based on what it means to live in the Christian hope, to live with what we're going to call today the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. It starts this way. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation in love, if there's any sharing in the Spirit, if there's any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, Paul says. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Paul probably heard from the messenger that was bearing this gift that there might be some kind of dissension within this church in Philippi. They weren't quite all of one mind. There were some issues going on. He loves this church very much. They were very much a part of his early ministry, and he cared about them deeply, and it brought joy just thinking about them. But he says, my joy is not complete because I'm hearing this word about you. There's some stuff going on here. And if you want my joy to be complete, have the same mind and the same love and being in full accord and in one mind with one another. He goes on to say, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. He's using a form of the golden rule here. When we live in community, when we live together one with another, let us be mindful of the golden rule that your interest is my interest. And when things are going well with you, then things will go well with me. Regard others as better than yourselves. Live in humility with one another. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. A mutual respect, a mutual love. That's how we live in community. That's how we are to be a light to the world. It's how we, the community, the church, lives out our life together. So different from the way the rest of the world lives. that we may be a light of grace, a light of truth, a light of hope, and a life that is abundant. Look not for your own interest, but to the interest of the other, and they will look after you. And then he says, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Next, what happens in this letter is Paul pulls in what could be, well, some scholars think, maybe the oldest piece of New Testament writing that exists. It's a poem. It's a piece of a hymn that Paul brings into this letter. It's a poem about the incarnation of who Jesus really is. What is Christ's nature? And so he says, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And then it goes on, and being born in human likeness and having been found in human form, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the hymn. What I want us to think about this morning, all of us, is what this means. He emptied himself. That is a very powerful statement. He did not regard his godness as something to exploit. So he emptied himself of it so that he could be just like you and me. The ancient admonition is Christ became like us so that we might become like him. That would not happen if he did not empty himself. I don't know if you're familiar with this particular book. It's called A Man's Search for Meaning. It's written by an Austrian psychiatrist, Viktor Frankl. This particular book happens to be the U.S. Library of Congress top 10 most influential books of the 20th century in the United States. Top 10. Viktor Frankl, during World War II, was a prisoner in a German concentration camp, Auschwitz. During his imprisonment, he discovered some certain things about himself and certain things about others. He looked at his fellow comrades in prison, and he noticed that there were kind of two types of people. There were those that seemed to be so self-consumed, so self-centered, so self-possessed, that when difficulty came, they couldn't take it and they gave up and they were so despondent and so depressed and so defeated that they were the ones that didn't make it. Whereas there were others that he observed that had some kind of sense of inner resilience. He couldn't quite figure it out. But they were, when morsels of bread was handed out for meals, they would be the ones that would break off a portion of theirs and give it to another companion who might be sickly or having difficulty. Or they might be They might take a certain bit of time to help another prisoner or to give a word of encouragement. He couldn't quite figure out what is the difference? What is going on between the one who is completely defeated and the other who holds on with just this touch of resilience, this touch of perseverance? He thought he got a glimpse of an answer one night when they were marching the prisoners through the night from one location to the another, and it seems like they'd been marching for miles. The prison guards were hitting and nudging them with butts of their rifles, and they were totally and completely humiliated. And he recalls a comrade next to him saying, "I'm really glad that my wife is not here to see this." And then Viktor Frankl had a thought. He thought of his wife and her. The vision of his beloved came into his head, and he focused on her. And somehow that was enough to take the next step and the next. And he recalled whenever times were getting so difficult and so unbearable, he would remember the vision of his beloved. And that would give him just enough strength to last another hour. Now, this next sentence is the key sentence to this entire book. I'm about to save you $12, so you don't have to go out and buy this book, because I'm about to give you the key sentence to this whole thing. It's this: everything can be taken from a man or a woman, but one thing. The last of human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. The gift and the power that God gives us to resist evil oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. The power and the gift that God gives us in the human mind to choose our attitude. And for Paul, that attitude is the mind of Christ. To set your focus on the beloved. Now, if for you, the focus of your beloved is your spouse, that's okay. To see that love through that person to the ultimate love of God in Christ Jesus. That's good enough today. That you have the vision of the beloved. Now, having said that, I'm about to share with you probably the most abused and hardest piece of scripture in the Bible. And it's this. It's not quite this. I'm setting it up. Therefore, it's from Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Have this mind which is yours in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up, emptied himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. This word subject is a hard word. Be subject to one another. Let the other's interests be more important than yours, and that person's interests is important to, and your interest is important to them. We live in a community of mutual love, subject to one another. And then this one. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything subject to your husbands, their husbands. This has been the most abused piece of scripture. It can be dangerous, disturbing, and dangerous. This word subject is troubling. And if it's taken out of context, it's very dangerous. Unless you keep reading. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself, emptied himself for her. That is Christian home and family. When you're subject to one another and love abounds and grace blesses the home in generosity, that's how it works. It's the only way that it works. Now, this is Father's Day. This is a day when fathers. We pray, have the mind of Christ. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a time of prayer in families. If you are here this morning with your family, I would hope when we call the time for prayer, you will gather as a family. And you will have a special prayer as a family. If Dad wants to pray, let Dad pray. If Mom wants to pray, we'll let Mom pray. If you've got children and they would like to say a word of prayer in the family, allow children to pray. For those of us who are not attached during this time, pray for your beloved. Focus your vision on that which is the love of your life. And as you focus your attention through them to the true and pure and good, abundant love of God in Christ Jesus. You got it? We're going to take time. Gather together, move around, clump up, hold hands, and be a family together in the mind of Christ, where love abides and abounds.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.